It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now to cancer moonshot. President Joe Biden gave a speech at the Kennedy Presidential Library in Boston last month, outlining the progress on his own self-described moonshot, that is to end cancer. Biden said his plan is bold, ambitious, and doable.
The goal is to cut cancer death rates by at least 50% in the next 25 years. To turn more cancers from death sentences into chronic diseases people can live with.
Join in on Cancer Moonshot Goals, your cancer journey that you learned, 800-642-1234. Gustavo Leone is director of the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center. Gustavo, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. And we have Danielle Carnival, coordinator of the White House Cancer Moonshot Program. Danielle, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Danielle, let's start with you. What has it been like working on these ambitious goals, working on this issue with President Biden?
Well, I mean, I think it's clear from the clip you just played, and for anyone who's heard the president talk about this, how much this is a priority. And it's a priority as president, but it's also a priority as someone who's been personally impacted by cancer. So it's really mission driven for us. Cancer impacts nearly everyone. I'm sure many of your listeners, either themselves or through their families. So it's been really great to put everything we can into these goals.
Take us into your world for a moment. What is your work like as coordinator? What do you focus on?
Yeah, so as part of the goals that the president just mentioned in that clip, he called for a all hands on deck and whole of government effort. So my work is bringing together all of the resources, ingenuity, innovation from across the federal government to make sure that we're driving new ways to prevent, detect, and treat cancer, and making sure that we reach more Americans with the tools we already have and those we develop.
Gustavo, how do cancer centers like yours in Milwaukee address the mission of the Cancer Moonshot Program?
Oh, great question. You know, this is really synergistic about with cancer centers across the nation really working together. We're really the vehicles of how the moonshot will be achieved. It's all about synergy. It's about collaboration and discovery. And cancer centers are with researchers, hundreds of researchers in each of them, really work together and collaborate and bring different expertise and strengths that each cancer center has to bear fruit on answers that are, waiting to be had in cancer. So this is really important, and obviously we support the moonshot.
Well, you mentioned synergy, collaboration, discovery, but there also, I'm going to push back there, there also have been turf battles over access to research and the lack of sharing information and data among researchers. President Biden alluded to that in his speech in September. What do you feel, Gustavo, as a global research community working on this issue, how do you come together and make important knowledge accessible to all cancer researchers?
That's a great question. You do it one step at a time, starting at home, and you expand it outwards. So collaboration not only means collaboration between researchers, and I'll get to that in a second, but it's also with the community. So one of the approaches that we've taken, and as I'm sure many other cancers have, is really to reach out to the community and understand the challenges that the community really has, not only what we think those challenges may be, but really driven by the community thought process and their real needs. So that really starts right there. And then you bring those identified challenges, you address them, you develop projects really solve solutions. And you do that by team science, whether you have two or three or five or 10 scientists from different disciplines coming together to work on a project. These are program projects, U54s, different mechanisms that NIH or NCI, National Cancer Institute, supports. And those are the mechanisms that that support the funding for that kind of research. And then that's within institutes, sometimes across institutes. And then the moonshot, of course, and through meetings, conferences, and co-publications, cancer centers work together on numerous projects that are larger than any single cancer center. And that's really important because disparities in outcomes are obviously present in Wisconsin, but they're also present in other states. Mm-hmm. And we can learn from those similarities and differences among states, and that's why we really work together. Clinical trials, for example, are multi-institutional very often, and that's another mechanism by which cancer centers work together. Go ahead.
Yeah, Danielle, I want to get you in here on what's coming up for you as you hear about, you know, the research being larger than any one cancer center, but there are also, there's a competitiveness side to this research and proprietary aspects. How do you balance that?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we reward the behavior that we want to see, right? That we set up incentives where collaboration across institutions, sharing data early to really move progress forward is rewarded, and that the rules are set up so that that's kind of the norm. One thing to mention is cancer was really the area of cancer research really drove forward this now government-wide policy around public access to research publications. And so this means that if federal taxpayer dollars have paid for research, when that research is published, it used to be that it could sit behind a paywall, which means you had to have a subscription to get a hold of it, and it could take a year or more. And that is now immediately open for everyone to have access to as a public good.
We're talking with Danielle Carnival there about Cancer Moonshot Program and efforts in the White House, and Gustavo Leone, director of the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center in Milwaukee. You can join in on Cancer Moonshot, 800-642-1234. Gustavo, you had started mentioning clinical trials and what that has done in opening those up, what that has done to make progress on the research into cancer. What do you see there?
Well, clinical trials, let me just start back a little bit, really is based on basic science research or population science research. And that then the best discoveries and the best ideas are brought forward to how do we apply them to solve the problem of cancer for patients. And so develop clinical trials, and then we move them out to the community. I think the real challenge is, of course, is access. And this is something that many cancer centers, I'm incredibly committed here at MCW Cancer Center, to really have access to those clinical trials. So it's not just for 10, 15, or 20% of the population, but really have communicate with the community so that they have access, they understand it. And the most difficult part of this is really to develop the trust that is needed to undergo and participate in clinical trials. And that's just a long process. It's a continuous process of communicating with the community. It's an important process. And we will never succeed until we succeed with that component of the interactions between the community and cancer centers. So important goal for us.
Danielle, how do you see that? How do patients learn about these clinical trials, trust them, and the equity piece here, have access to them?
Yeah, we worked really hard to improve the systems where people can actually see information about clinical trials, get access to them, worked with private sector that's really moving fast in this direction to pair patients with clinical trials. And I think the reason for doing that is twofold. There's a scientific reason. The faster we can move in getting people in these trials and seeing how these new treatments, new approaches work, the faster we can get new treatments to everyone impacted by that type of cancer. So that's really important. But this is about people, right? We're not doing this just for science. We're doing this because of the impact it has on people facing cancer. And so what Gustavo was just talking about and making sure that we're reaching broader sets of people into communities is really important, because many times these are people who, for whom the standard of care, the current kind of treatment, isn't working. And so they everyone in this country who's in that situation deserves the same opportunity to access new cutting-edge treatments that might just work for them.
Talking with Danielle Carnival, coordinates the Cancer Moonshot Program in the White House's Office of Science and Technology Policy. Gustavo Leone leads the Cancer Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Join in on the mission to accelerate the rate of progress against cancer. Your connection to this disease, what you've discovered in your cancer journey. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. President Biden recently affirmed a goal to supercharge his Cancer Moonshot initiative, cut cancer death rates by at least 50%, and dramatically accelerate the nation's progress in the fight against cancer, the second most common cause of death in our country. Join in on the work of physicians, the work of scientists, where you hope the discoveries lead to. 800-642-1234. Danielle Carnival is coordinator of the White House Cancer Moonshot Program, and Gustavo Leone is director of the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center in Milwaukee. They stay with us. Let's bring on a call. Marcus is here from Milwaukee. Marcus, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. So my question for your guests is, since we were able to come up with a vaccine for COVID as quickly as we did, what would it take to do the same for cancer? Because clearly we have the brain power and the ability to do it.
Gustavo, you first.
Great question. The magnitude of the problem is a little different. And so I will say first that there are many investigators across the country, including here at MCW Cancer Center, working on vaccines against cancer. It's an ongoing process. We're in the middle of it. It will take many years for that to come to fruition. If you think about a virus versus cancer, a virus has a few thousand base pairs, which is the sort of the unit of the genome of the virus. We have billions and billions of base pairs in humans. So when we are trying to modify the sequence of the human genome and identify those differences between the normal and the cancer, we have to discriminate between billions and billions and billions. So the magnitude of the problem is much larger. And that's really what's been really difficult to identify, right? The immune system has to be activated, has to recognize the cancer. It cannot recognize the host or normal tissue. And so you have to discriminate between 5, 10, 20 base pairs from billions and billions and billions. Mm. So that's very different than the virus. And that really is the challenge.
Danielle, how did the COVID vaccine's rapid trajectory and all that orchestration to find a vaccine, how does that inform the Cancer Moonshot Program?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, I think when we see as a country how companies, government, across agencies, everyone can really come together to mount a response to a challenge like the COVID-19 pandemic, it makes us say, how do we do that for everything else? And of course, like, there's exhaustion and you have to have priorities and resource constraint and all of that. But I think it really does paint a picture for how this can be done. And just to give some examples, Gustavo's being cautious because we don't want to overpromise, but I do want to paint a little bit of a vision for what could be possible with vaccines for cancer. One, we have a vaccine right now, the HPV vaccine, that prevents up to 7 kinds of cancer and could eliminate cervical cancer or nearly eliminate, essentially eliminate cervical cancer. Two others that I think are really exciting. Again, these are being tested and there's lots of steps to make sure they work well. But there's people living with something called Lynch syndrome, which gives them a very, very high lifetime likelihood of developing colorectal and other types of cancer. There are vaccines being tested that kind of replace the defect that they have in their genes, since it's an inherited disease, that might maybe we get them closer to a normal lifetime risk of cancer. That changes entire families' lives. So that's really exciting. And then one other is, there are vaccines being tested not only for the prevention of cancer, but for the early treatment of cancer. And so imagine if we could pinpoint how exactly to ramp up our immune system in response to a cancer that isn't responding to other treatments, but our immune system might be able to recognize and kill those cancer cells. Again, these are on the horizon, but I think it just paints the vision for how excited we are about how fast science is progressing that could really help us save and extend many people's lives in this country.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Cancer Moonshot Program from the White House. Danielle Carnival, coordinator of the program. Gustavo Leone here, director of the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Catherine in Eau Claire. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My mom passed away after her first dose of chemotherapy last week. Mm. The doctors performed a genetic test after the first dose of chemotherapy and discovered that she had a genetic mutation that reduced her ability to break down the chemotherapy, which led to toxicity and ultimately her death. We were told that genetic testing is not the standard of care in the United States prior to treatment with chemotherapy. How will Operation Moonshot change the standard of care to include genetic testing to better treat patients and to reduce mortality from treatment?
Catherine, thank you for that, and so sorry for your loss. Danielle, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to echo, so sorry for your loss, and thank you for already turning kind of what has impacted your family into awareness and bringing that forward. There's lots of ways that we're impacting how care will be delivered, right? Again, the science is really interesting and will get us part of the way there, but making sure that we take care of people in ways that best match what we know is an essential part of how we achieve the president's vision for the Cancer Moonshot. And so we are looking at how to make sure that, you know, recommendations and the care system better match and keep up with how fast the science is evolving. Things like what you just described, we didn't understand just years ago. And so we're trying to make sure that knowledge turns into practical application for people that makes a difference. And I'm so sorry that wasn't the case here for your mom.
Gustavo?
You know, yeah, I'm sorry for your loss. I will say that my vision, I would suspect that the vision of many cancer centers is to genetically screen every patient, the normal tissues as well as the tumor tissues, because I think what you're talking about here is the differences between individuals on how they respond to chemotherapy, but also other therapies. And there are differences. There are obviously differences between the cancers. So understanding the genetic and the epigenetic constitution of tumors in individual patients is really, really important. So your call is obviously very important to sort of push that agenda, and I wish we'd had more people talking about this. It's really important. Obviously, there's a financial constraint. Insurance companies and other components of the health system as well. But I think that's where we need to go. And so I'm very glad that you really made this call. You put this at the, in front of us and push this agenda forward, because precision medicine and precision oncology can only happen if we upfront begin to analyze patients, like, for example, sequencing.
But precision medicine and individualized care, that comes with a cost barrier. Will that come down? And how great of a barrier is that, Gustavo?
That's another great point. Thank you, Kate. Let me put it this way. In 2003, we as a community sequenced the human genome, built multinational institutions billions and billions of dollars to sequence the first human genome. We can sequence now the human genome for under $5,000. We do it in a single institution. We can do it in a single laboratory. So that's often an initial concern of cost, but biologists are great at having ideas. They're not really great at efficiencies. And so that is why the collaboration between biologists, physicists, engineers, and when you take that kind of approach, you quickly bring down a really good idea and make it really, really effective.
Let's pause.
And the price then comes down.
Let's pause right there as we talk about cancer moonshot in your story. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Biden administration leading this initiative to cut cancer deaths in half by 2047. And we're exploring the White House's Cancer Moonshot Initiative, what it means for Wisconsin. The American Association for Cancer Research, in its new Cancer Progress Report, it says that more people than ever before are living longer and fuller lives after a cancer diagnosis. Join in with your Cancer Progress Report. Where you see progress, where you see barriers. 800-642-1234. Danielle Carnival is here, coordinates the White House Cancer Moonshot Program. And Gustavo Leone directs the Cancer Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. They stay with us. Let's bring in Rich in Green Bay. Hi, Rich. What would you like to explore?
Good morning. I just get a little concerned when I hear President Biden talk about making cancer a chronic condition that people can live with. And I'm just wondering, why isn't the focus more on preventing people from getting sick in the first place? Maybe by eliminating the dietary and environmental toxins, factors that cause cancer. And why isn't there more of a focus on curing cancer? That's my question.
Great. Rich, thank you. Danielle.
I am so happy for this question. So thank you, Rich. A couple of things. I think he does talk about that as part of what it means to cut the cancer death rate in half over the next 25 years, which is one of the goals of the Cancer Moonshot. But there are ways that some cancers will be cured. There are already cancers today where, just a personal example, I had a doctor kind of feel where she felt something on my thyroid, and I was like, how worried should I be? And she said, if caught early, this is a cancer people survive. And so we are getting to the point where we're kind of taking the power out of that diagnosis for some types of cancer. On the prevention side, it is a huge focus of what we're doing. We have goals across the Cancer Cabinet, which is how we're bringing together leadership from federal departments and agencies. And that includes the U.S. Department of Agriculture, focused on nutrition and how we prevent cancer. We just had a big first in several decades, second ever White House summit on hunger, nutrition, hunger, health, and nutrition. Another one of the agencies that's a part of what we're doing is the Environmental Protection Agency. The bipartisan infrastructure law, for example, is investing billions of dollars, yes, in improving our physical infrastructure, our roads and bridges, but it's also cleaning up and making better the existing infrastructure, whether it's cleaning up toxic sites that had been kind of an underfunded project for far too long that impact disproportionately communities of color and under-resourced communities, and taking lead and other chemicals and potential cancer-causing toxins out of our water supply. So we are very focused on prevention. The one last thing I'll say there is there's an entire area where we're working on decreasing the impact of preventable cancers. This is one of the five priority actions for this cancer cabinet, this whole of government approach. And so in addition to what I just mentioned on nutrition, we're looking at how we help support a society where tobacco has less of an impact Lung cancer is still the biggest killer, cancer killer in the United States. So we're really taking this on from as many areas as possible. So thank you, Rich, so much for your question.
Gustavo, how do you view that cancer as a chronic disease, managing it versus curing it?
Great point. You know, Danielle touched on many of the important points. I'll add one additional one. Screening really is really, really important because then we can detect early stages before cancer actually develops, very early stages. And then so continuous screening will be is an important vehicle on how to prevent cancer. So there's a lot of focus. Obviously, we talked about the vaccines. That's really also important. It's all hands on deck. People will have, no matter what we do, there will be people that will have cancer, and we need to continue to focus on curing cancer and at all stages. And I think that's also very important. So we got to look early. We got to look in the middle, and we got to look at late stages. What can we do to have the best possible outcomes for our patients that are suffering with cancer?
Danielle, I want to bring up, because you mentioned the cancer cabinet forming across government, and there have been also new or recent appointments in this anti-cancer orbit, if you will. There's the new director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, where you are, and the first director of the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, ARPA-H. How do you coordinate and integrate their new visions that these leaders bring to the Cancer Moonshot Directive?
And I would add a third in that Dr. Monica Bertagnoli started as the National Cancer Institute Director just a few weeks ago as well. So I think we have a very powerful, energized new suite of leaders that are going to make a huge impact on this. And just a beat on, in case people aren't familiar with ARPA-H, it is an Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health. People may remember DARPA, which is the defense model that delivered GPS and the internet and had a huge role in really moving research forward on mRNA vaccines that we all know came through to fruition in response to the pandemic. So the president had a vision of bringing the same drive, perspective, culture of delivering results that DARPA has had for decades, and bringing that to the issues that face us in human health. And yes, this is going to be developing, as we say, like new widgets and tools and treatments. There are, we're really going to have to drive more ways to new ways to prevent, detect, and treat cancer. But I also am really excited about the perspective that an ARPA-H is going to be able to take, as opposed to the existing biomedical research structures that we have in, for example, the National Institutes of Health, that it's very driven by investigators, driven by research questions, and that has paid huge dividends. And so what ARPA-H is an additional tool in our toolbox to say, how do we step back and ask questions about how do we use nutrition and an approach to nutrition in this country that preserves health and wards off disease? And ARPA-H may have a very different approach of how we make progress on that than the National Institutes of Health. And so they're going to be working closely together. So they're really complementary, but so excited about the new, and I will say, all female leadership that's going to contribute to cancer and the fight against many other diseases.
Danielle Carnival, coordinator of the White House Cancer Moonshot Program, Gustavo Leone, director of the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center in Milwaukee. Let's take another call now. Julie is here from Madison. Julie, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Well, I'd like to bring up, first of all, my husband is a leukemia AML survivor. He's had 6 years now. He had a half-match bone marrow transplant, but was fight to get it. because, first of all, there was a mismatch between the hospital he was treated at in Madison, which was Meritor, and the Carbone Cancer Center, and they just sat after he was initially cleared of leukemia and did nothing. Meanwhile, I and my brother did research, found half-match transplants on the National Health Service public information in England. And we then went to, I went to my insurance, which is provided through work, and the insurance support nurse, and she got on the phone and had a heart-to-heart with Carbone, where he had been sent for treatment, who was saying, there's no match in the database. None of your relatives match. We got to figure this out. You're almost 60 years old. And my employer said, look, Frederick's doing half-match transplants. Looks like you've done a few. And you're going to do that, or do we transfer the patient? We can put him and his family up while he's getting treated in Milwaukee.
So, and I don't want to cut your story short, but I want Gustavo, and I know you can't talk specifically to this case, but you perhaps have seen it before as hospitals share in the care of someone. What would you tell Julie?
You know, this unfortunately does happen. Not too often, but it does happen. I often get calls, as I'm sure the director of the Carbone Cancer Center gets calls, on patients that have a particular ailment, particular cancer, that particular cancer center is not an expert on. And so we often connect with the other cancer centers and send the patients to where the best possible care can be given. So that's a way of collaborating. It's not ideal, of course, for everyone because there's travel, there's inconvenience, there's costs associated with that. But it's any clinical institute or cancer center can't be all things to everyone. There's focus of strengths, and that's how we're going to win, I think, the fight against cancer in a collaborative way. I will say that. Part of the research mission at MCW Cancer Center is actually to minimize the amount of similarities and haplotypes for transplants, so that research is taking us a long ways to allow us to do that, so that you don't have to have perfect matches. We're working very hard here and have made great progress. Obviously, we have the International Center of Blood and Marrow Research Center here in Milwaukee. It is a phenomenal international institution, and with databases that allow us to really study this really important problem in transplant matching.
Cancer researcher Gustavo Leone heads up the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center. Danielle Carnival here, coordinator of the Cancer Moonshot Program in the White House's Office of Science and Technology Policy. Still time to talk about the mission to accelerate the rate of progress against cancer, your connection to the disease, the work to find a cure. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The White House puts it in stark terms on its Cancer Moonshot site. The experience of cancer, of getting a cancer diagnosis, surviving cancer, losing someone to cancer, it has touched virtually every American family. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We have Danielle Carnival, coordinator of the White House's Cancer Moonshot Program, and Gustavo Leone, who directs the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center. They stay with us. Danielle, some advocates say that to reduce the rate of deaths by at least 50% in 25 years, you need an infusion of cash. Is there enough funding to meet this ambitious goal? Is cancer funded at the appropriate level to get this done?
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think the president often says this, but the fight against cancer and resourcing and funding the fight against cancer is still one of the bipartisan things here in Washington, D.C., because, as you said, cancer impacts nearly everyone. And so we've had bold investments in the research needed. In 2016, the Cancer Moonshot helped move forward the 21st Century Cures Act, which invested $1.8 billion additional dollars in the National Cancer Institute. And we talked about earlier ARPA-H, an entire new agency dedicated, funded in a bipartisan way earlier this year at $1 billion just to kick off, focused on taking on cancer and other diseases. So there's plenty of work to do, but I think we're really committed to making sure that the resources match the challenge here. And I think the one thing I would add is, yes, the research side is really important, but we also want to make sure that we're meeting the needs on something Gustavo talked about on cancer screening. During the course of the pandemic, we had nearly 10 million missed screenings for Americans. And we know that if that continues, we will see people diagnosed at a later stage when we have less options and we have less tools. And so I'd really just emphasize that we're going to be stepping up, and CDC already put $200 million earlier this year that reached programs, local community programs and health centers in every state, tribal nations, and territories. But there's something we can all do as part of this as well, which is make sure that we get our recommended screenings on the books. We stay on top of it. It is the, other than prevention, is the second best tool we have to make sure that we can survive cancer.
Gustavo, as we talk about money, I mean, we've seen the studies that look at the impact of cancer on a patient's net worth and the debt. Cancer patients found to be at greater risk for bankruptcy than people without a cancer diagnosis. What do you make of the financial hardship on patients and where this is headed?
This is front and center, really, really important point. As we have and head towards personalized medicine, we talked about it a little earlier, the cost of producing these products, these therapies, are incredibly expensive. A lot of research that goes into it, pharmaceuticals, institutions, universities, very, very expensive. But I'm incredibly hopeful because I think, just think about CAR-T. CAR-T costs in the last 5 years over
cell therapy makes immune cells hunt down and kill cancer cells. Go ahead.
Yep, exactly. These are T cells that are taken from the patient, outside of the patient, re-engineered and put back into the patient to fight against the cancer. Very effective in heme malignancies, slowly making its grounds inwards towards solid cancers now here at Milwaukee, but other places as well. Very important, over $500,000 cost, just the therapy alone, not including other costs associated with hospital stays and so on. We've been able, in just the last few years in Milwaukee, to bring that cost down to $75,000. It's still very expensive, but this is almost a tenfold decrease. I expect that within 2 to 3 years, those costs are going to go down in the low tens. So we cannot stop innovating. Innovating is expensive, and that is when we partner. We partner with others that can make these therapies more efficient, more effective, can be brought to the patient faster at a point of contact with the patient as opposed to long distances. So I think all of this will bring the cost down. It's always our concern. It should be a concern, and it's something that we're working as part of the research to really make it more effective and to bring the costs down. But it can't stop us from researching and developing new therapies. Just a few facts. Over 1,600 Americans die because of this disease every day. The stakes are incredibly high. The survival rates are still lower for Black people than white people. So this is of every cancer type almost. So this is also very, very important. So costs initially are very high for, you know, novel medical therapies, but they often come down. If you think about insulin, for example, it was incredibly expensive to produce decades ago. Now that's much more affordable for almost everyone.
Danielle, is Cancer Moonshot, is the program, you know, what is it doing about the financial hardship of this diagnosis?
Yeah, a couple things just to briefly mention. One is the Inflation Reduction Act caps out-of-pocket prescription drug costs at $2,000 a year for Medicare beneficiaries. So that means seniors facing cancer could see their prescription drug costs go down by thousands annually. This is saving people's retirements, right? Making sure that they can get the care they need and hopefully live many, many years beyond that without losing the house or going into bankruptcy. But another thing that we're doing is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, just launched a new model, which is how they look at how you provide great outcomes at better value. And so the Enhancing Oncology model will be launching across health centers that opt into it to really look at how you incentivize cutting costs, using drugs that are just as effective but cost less where possible, provide wraparound care. The call earlier, there are far too many stories about patients and families having to do all of this investigation themselves. This Enhancing Oncology model includes patient navigation as a priority, someone to walk through those steps with you and help you make decisions. So those are just a couple of the ways that we're starting to approach this specifically in cancer as part of the Cancer Moonshot.
Gustavo, we only have a brief moment left, but the Medical College of Wisconsin has just broke ground on this $100 million cancer center construction plan to be completed in 2024. How do you expect a new facility to help advance cancer research?
Thank you. Yes, we're so fortunate to have broken ground on a phenomenal building, really, that is going to bring cancer researchers all together. Again, it sort of really supports three ambitious goals that are also a goal of the Moonshot. And that is really to accelerate scientific discovery. Mm. That's number one. Bringing sciences of different disciplines together under one roof is really critical for those synergies. We're doing great research right now, even though we're far apart.
Can you imagine
the types of discovery that we're going to have when we come together and collaborate even more. I think that's really point number one.
And we are out of time. Thank you both for joining us. Gustavo Leone directs the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center. Danielle Carnival, coordinator of the White House's Cancer Moonshot program. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.